Chapter 20, Baptism, March 26, 636 AD, 32 years later. Queen Elodia opened her eyes and turned to look at King Cynegils, who was meditating next to her. "Sin," she whispered, "do you realize that tonight will be the first time in 45 years that I won't celebrate the spring moon?" "And we never will again," answered Sin as he looked up. They had been meditating in preparation for their baptism today. "Not celebrating pagan rituals is a required part of converting to Christianity, my dear. Are you having second thoughts?" "No, not really. I was just thinking about our lives together, and it suddenly occurred to me that tonight is the first full moon of spring. Estra's spring moon festival was always special to me," she replied. "It was my favorite, too, and we have had quite a life together," agreed Sin. "Marriage, children, ascension to king and queen, and ruling a kingdom for a quarter century make for quite a few memories." "Actually, I hadn't thought of any of that," admitted Elodia with a slight smile. She reached over to squeeze his hand and added, "I was thinking about when we first met. I think Bishop Berinus expected us to contemplate our love of Christ in the hours before our baptism, rather than our love for each other," laughed Sin. "It's all about love with you kids today, isn't it?" grinned Elodia with a gentle shove to her husband. "And what have you been contemplating for the past 4 hours, my love?" "Mostly how much my knees hurt and that I'm too old to be kneeling on them for this long," complained Sin. "But let me repeat my question. Are you certain you want to go through with this? We are about to convert ourselves and our kingdom to a new religion, and I'm sensing that you don't entirely believe in this new Christian God." "Oh, I'm not sure that I do," admitted Elodia, "but it really doesn't matter. It's something we have to do." "Perhaps," the king agreed, "but it breaks my heart to think you are doing this just so I can get an alliance with Oswald. We can find another ally to fight the Mercians." "Oh, you are so sweet, Sin," Elodia smiled as she placed her hand on his. "But we both know that Wessex and Northumbria need to be united to fight Mercia successfully. Besides, I'm not certain I believe in the old gods anymore either, so it truly doesn't matter." Sin wouldn't let it drop. He pulled his hand away from hers and said, "I disagree, Elodia. Our beliefs are what define who we are, and we lose a bit of ourselves every time we trade them off for some earthly gain. You are too important for me to allow that to happen." Elodia could tell that this meant a lot to her husband and agreed with his reasoning, but she was not going to relent. "My dear Sin, you are certainly right. But I am not compromising my beliefs here. I am simply trading one disbelief for another, so there is no loss of my soul. In fact, this ceremony will complete my life's dream," she answered. "Do you remember asking me what I wanted to do with my life back when we first met?" "No, I'm sorry, that was a very long time ago," admitted Sin, "but what does your life's dream have to do with our baptism?" "Well, it might not have been a memorable moment for you, but your question changed my life," Elodia whispered. "You asked me that question on our first picnic in the Bluebell Meadow. It was my birthday, and you asked me what I wanted to do with my life. You wanted to know my dreams and aspirations. Such questions had never occurred to me before you asked, and I didn't have an answer. I'd never dreamed of anything beyond my next meal, the harvest, or surviving the winter. I had no vision beyond the next day, or at most the upcoming season, nor did anyone I knew. But your question made me wonder what my answer would be if I didn't have to worry about survival. Over the next month, especially after I realized my true lineage, I realized that what I most wanted was to ensure the survival of my people. At that time, that meant the 20-odd people in my hidden village and eventually my children should I ever get married and have any. Now that I am Queen of Wessex, I still have the same answer, but my scope has expanded to include everyone in our kingdom. Your giant heart is one reason I love you, sweetheart, but I'm sure our people will all survive whether or not we are baptized," Sin assured her. "My dear husband, I am not so sure," said Elodia. "You have been a great king for a very long time, but look at us. We are old. Our son, Senwal, is a fine man and will make a good king, but what of his son and his? Some kings, like your uncle, rule by power and intimidation. His victories expanded our kingdom, but he ruled his people with fear and intimidation. Your reign has been one of growth and prosperity, but what will happen with the next reign and beyond? I want our people to be ruled by something which transcends kings in a way which will even shape our lives should our kingdom someday be conquered. This new Christian religion does that. I may or may not believe in their God, but their teachings are sound and extend beyond political borders. There was a knock on the door, and Elodia quickly finished, "My dream is to protect our people now and for the next 1,000 years. Embracing this new religion is a way to achieve that dream. Christianity offers guidance to our people through messages of hope and love, which will last an eternity." "Ahem," coughed Bishop Berinus as he entered the room smiling. "Hearing the words eternal love and hope assures me that your meditation has been worthwhile." Sin ignored the bishop and continued to stare at Elodia. "You are an exceptional woman, my queen, which is why I love you so," he whispered. Sin then leaned over to kiss his wife. "And you are an exceptional man," Elodia softly replied as she also leaned towards him. "Although I miss being called princess, queen just makes me feel so old." Sin paused, smiled, and said, "You will always be princess to me, my love."